Well, welcome everybody. We're sorry for the slight delay in joining you, but it seems that Facebook is suffering from a lot of outages and we couldn't launch the webcast to Facebook, so it's just streaming on YouTube today. And we trust that everybody's able to catch up, hopefully later on tomorrow when we can get it online. So sorry for the delay. This is a first, eh, Barry? We've had many technical problems in our 15 years, but this is the first time that Facebook has not worked for us.
Yes, it is. I just looked online and it seems to be a global outage issue with Facebook. So I'm relieved that it wasn't Mark and I that caused it. That's all.
Well, yeah, we trust we didn't cause it. It was actually going before we started, and we struggled. Well, we just couldn't get it online to Facebook. So those of you who found us on YouTube, thank you once again. And we trust you guys who watching it later will just have the same encounter with the father that everybody's having live. So there we go. So, Barry, just a quick announcement. Next week will be our last webcast before Christmas. So one more week in 2024, the 18th of December, and then we'll be back, I think, on the 8th of January, 2025.
Woohoo.
Woohoo, yes. So there we go.
Some of us will be back.
Some of us will be back. Barry is going to be teaching at the School of Ministry, so on the 8th of January, it'll just be me. Yeah, so good. How's things in your world, my friend?
Well, things are going well. Thank you very much. As Mark and I were talking about before we went live, I've kind of entered the next stage in my senior citizen journey. I actually just got a set of hearing aids yesterday. So it's great because I can hear better. That's a good thing. But it's maybe a sign of the times. I'm getting older. But that's about the newest thing.
Well, I think for me, I hope my next step into the old age thing will be my bus pass in 3 years' time. But there we go. So, Barry, do you just want to pray for us before we kick off tonight? Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. Father, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, and that we just pray that people who are really looking forward to watching this live on Facebook would just not be discouraged, but they would find this tomorrow when it's uploaded on Facebook once again. And we just pray that as we just talk about the things that are on your heart today, Abba, we just ask that we would just be connected to your heartbeat. And we pray for everybody that is hearing live and and probably that much more after the fact, that you would just bless them and that they would have a genuine encounter with your love that is fresh and new, and just draws us deeper into the ocean of your affection. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I'm just going to kick off and then I'll draw Barry back in just a few minutes. That's okay, matey?
Absolutely.
But just as I start, just quick, I see a few more people have joined us on YouTube. Thank you for coming. Facebook seems to be out tonight, so we've been unable to stream live to Facebook, just to YouTube, but we'll have it online tomorrow. So as you saw from the title, just want to have a discussion together, Barry and I, about being at home with love. It kind of just something that's sparked off in me the other day when I read this verse in Psalm 5 verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down towards your holy temple. And I just was reading that as part of my daily reading, and the thing that really struck me is we have got access into the Father's house. The Father, it's not just a house, it's not a building, it's a place to call home. Home is much, much different to a house or a building. You know, home is a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance, sense of identity. You know, you identify with the people whose home you've come into. home has that sense of affection, belonging, and just acceptance. And, you know, when I read that verse, I thought, what a privilege that, you know, sometimes, you know, it's easy to look at ourselves and kind of put ourselves down, and, you know, we have this worm mentality, you know, I am but a worm, you know, whatever. And yet the Father says, you can come into my house, my home. You can belong there. That's our true, true place. And when I just read that verse, it was just like, wow, what an immense privilege that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the one whose name is above everything, opens the door and says, come in. And I just want to say to all of us today that, you know, that he says, come in to all of us. Whatever we're feeling like, whatever's going on in our lives, however we feel about ourselves, he throws the door open and says, come in. And he simply does it because of his great love for you and his great love for me. And, you know, it just got me thinking that this is the Father's heart for each one of us, is to say, welcome home. You know, we know very well the story in Luke 15 of the son who comes home. And the father just puts his arms around him and says, son, you belong. You know, welcome home. And we love that story, don't we? Because we identify with that son who's been away. Because we know that that's been true for us. We've been away and we've come home. And when we've come home, there's been that sense of welcome, that sense of affection. You know, no condemnation, just the open arms of the Father, the ring, the party, the robe, the sandals. The Father just says, you belong. You know, in John chapter 8, Jesus says to his disciples, you know, a servant has no place in the family, no place in the house, but you, a son, belongs to it forever. And that's just such a wonderful thing, that there is a place in the Father's heart. There's a place that we can call home. And as sons and as daughters, we belong to that family. We belong to that. We have that permanent place that we can call home. A son belongs to the family forever. And I guess what we're going to do tonight is just re-emphasize that together and talk about that we belong. The Father throws open the door and he says, come in, you know, come in. And we might be feeling dirty, we might be feeling ashamed, we might be feeling full of fear, but he says, come in. I'm your Father, this is your home, you belong. And, you know, just thinking about that was kind of the foundation for, you know, what we want to talk about tonight. And just reminded of this very well-known passage in Ephesians 3, which we talked about last week together, Barry and I. We talked about this passage and this prayer of Paul's. But I just want to read it again and then just read it from the Passion Translation. But, you know, Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see, the verse we looked at in Psalm 5, it says, because of your great love, I can come home. Because of your great love for me, I can come home. And here in Ephesians, Paul says that this love is, you know, it's almost impossible to grasp how wide and long and high and deep it is, because it surpasses our knowledge. You know, our human intellect, our human mind can't grasp it, can't understand it. But yet Paul says, I'm praying that you will become so rooted and grounded, planted in this love, that you will begin to know this love that goes beyond all knowledge, and you will begin to experience it in all its dimensions. You know, this is the great love that is in the Father's heart for us, that enables us to come home and to know that it is well. I just want to read these verses out of the Passion Translation, because the Passion Translation, it's not really a translation, it's a paraphrase. And in some cases, it just really catches, I think, that the heart of the passage in a refreshing way. And I think this is one of those places where it really catches something. So just let me read it again from the Passion Translation. I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And I just particularly want to draw attention to that little phrase, the resting place of his love will become the source and root of your life. Because that's, you know, again, it's got that sense of being at home, that when we come home, we find that his love is that comfortable sofa that we can just rest upon. But it's more than that, because it becomes life-giving to us. It becomes a source and root of our life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to the overflowing with the fullness of God. And it's just a sense of the immeasurability of the Father's love towards us. Now, Jeremiah 31 verse 3, it says he's loving us with an everlasting love. And it's not a trickle, it's not like a tap is turned on, it's not even as immense as the Niagara Falls. You know, those Niagara Falls very close to where Barry lives, I've been there a few times, and every time I go, it's just like I'm completely overwhelmed by the power of that water flowing over the falls, and the strength and the unending supply of water that seems just to pour over. But even that, you know, we often say that's kind of a picture, but even that is just nothing compared to this overwhelming love that the Father pours into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's because of that love we can find our true home with him. And I just want, just before I bring Barry back, I just want to finish with one more verse, which is a very special verse to me, I guess. You know, I feel this is, you know, when crisis hits, this is a verse I go to. You know, how Psalm 84, verses 1 to 3. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. You know, it's just, I love that psalm. It's like David has caught hold of how beautiful the Father's presence is. And it's a place where we can come without fear, we can come without condemnation, we can lay our burdens aside, we can simply come. And David, in David, King David's heart, there's a longing, a yearning for that presence, that place of rest. And I guess my prayer today is that within each of our hearts there's this longing, this desire for his presence, where we discover that place of true rest. And, you know, we get here in this psalm, in these verses, a picture of the sparrow. Even the sparrow has found a home. You know, the sparrows, it's a very insignificant bird. It's a very plain bird, you know, very common, almost unnoticed. And, you know, what I think David is saying here is, look, you might not feel significant. You might not feel that you're noticed. You might not feel of great value, but you have a place. You have a place. You know, you might feel like a sparrow in God's family, but you have a place. There's a place in his presence for you. And the swallow, of course, is another bird. It comes in and out, flits in and out. And, you know, maybe some of us are like that. We flit in and out. We come and go and we take, you know, take it as we please. And King David says, you know, there's a place for you. You know, you might feel like you come and go, you're not settled, you know, you're a bit flighty, but there's a place. There's a place for you. And we have this place because of his great love for us. And I'm going to invite Barry back on, and we're just going to pick this up. We're going to discuss it a little bit more and just kind of see where we go with it. Because I really felt like, as I was just thinking about this week, it's like, there's a place called home for each one of us to find. And that's the longing of the Father's heart, is we find home. And when we find home, we find rest, we find peace. And we can find a place where we can let go of our burdens and our struggles.
Yeah.
Because there's a security of home. Home is safe, supposed to be safe. Mm. Yeah. Go on, Barry.
No, amen to that, bro. I feel that home is like we're speaking the language of the human heart. Mm-hmm. Whatever language, whatever translation, like there's something that is common in the very essence of the human experience of home. Yeah. You know, if you're in Africa, you have a home. If you're in Asia, you have a home. Mm-hmm. And it means something. And I think that's where, you know, of course, like you mentioned the prodigal son story, that it was all about the centrality of home.
Yes.
The safety, the security, everything was actually in that place where the father had a place of celebration, a place of just rejoicing and just love and acceptance. And I always like think, you know, and I'm sure it's probably the same way with your kids, but our kids, when they come back to our house, like our house is their second home, right? So they're very comfortable. Yeah. It's not like they, you know, of course, in a sense of protocol. They don't just start swinging from the chandeliers, but they're comfortable.
They don't. They put their feet. Mine do.
The grandchildren.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they know it's home, right, eh?
Exactly. And they're very comfortable. And I know for us with our grandies, even, you know, speaking, you brought up the grandchildren. So, yeah, I'll have license to talk about the grandies. I mean, they come in and they actually know where everything is. Mm. They know where, you know, the things that they want to play with. They know they have their routine coming home. And I think, you know, that's the thing that I think the Father really wants each and every one of us to be comfortable with home. You know, if I visit, I mean, now I would be more comfortable at Mark and Fiona's house, but if I went and visited the King of England, I would be on my absolute best behavior, not sure where you can sit, not sure when you can be acknowledged. And the Father really does want us to actually feel like that, that we're comfortable and being ourselves, being accepted the way we are. Even in Hebrews, where the writer of Hebrews talks about us being able to come with boldness into the throne room, you know, to have receive help and mercy and grace in our time of need. It's like here is this, you know, and of course I always, you know, imagine the Revelation description of the throne room with the 24 elders crying holy, holy, and the angels crying holy, holy, and they're covering their eyes and everything else, and this very majestic, holy, surreal, beyond description, just atmosphere. And then that is the place where God's kids can come with boldness anytime, day or night. And we can come to our Father. We have access into his throne room. We don't have to worry about the proper protocol in that sense. And I kind of think of, and I've shared this story before, but it just came to mind. Just talking about Queen Elizabeth when she was just a little girl, and her grandfather, King George, I think King George, right, was the grandfather as well. But he was still the king. Not her dad wasn't yet, so he was still alive. But from what I understand of the story, that little Elizabeth had her grandfather wrapped around her little finger, and so, you know, when people would come into the king's office, there was this protocol and maybe intimidation and, you know, approaching the king, and they had to be very cautious. But meanwhile, they had no idea that little Elizabeth was under the desk playing at King George's feet while all this is happening. And, you know, it was said that this was A.W. Tozer that wrote a story about it, and just said that little Elizabeth had the king wrapped around her little finger. And it was just because of love's sake, right? And so I kind of think, you know, the contrast of the throne room of God, that, you know, that is still our home. That is our living room. That's the place where we can come anytime, and we can receive the help and the mercy in our time of need. And so, yeah, I think there is something that resonates in every human heart, that we were created to experience that kind of home and that kind of belonging.
Yeah, just talking about the family barrier. Fiona was doing some cooking the other day, and she made something. And I was told that is for Christmas when the family come. And I went shopping the other day, getting some of the stuff in for when they come. And it was, you know, some nice little things that we don't normally have when it's just the two of us, but the extra treats and things, and they're in the cupboard, and I know that they are not for me. They are for Christmas when the family come. And, you know, I mean, that's what a mother does, isn't it? You know, that's the nurture of a mother. And of course, God loves us with a mothering love. And there's this nurture, there's this kindness, it's like, I know what my children like. I know what they need, you know, I know what their favorite things are. And just as a mother puts nice things in the cupboard. And, you know, our kids, like your kids, they come in, that, you know, they don't have any problem opening the kitchen cupboard and raiding the cupboard and raiding the fridge. They don't ask, they just do it. Why? It's home.
And absolutely.
I think that, you know, just like we prepare nice things for our kids and put nice things in the cupboard, you know, our father's a nurturing father. You know, he nurtures us, and he provides those good things. You know, he delights to give us good things. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, just in the same way as we know there's good things in the cupboard for our kids, you know, God's got good things in his cupboard for us.
Right.
You know, and it's our home. You can go to the cupboard, you can take those things out of the cupboard that God's prepared for you to do you good. And, you know, what are my kids do to deserve the nice biscuits or the nice crisps or whatever? Yeah, nothing. They just turn up. You know, what do we do to deserve what the Father wants to give us? Nothing. We just turn up.
Yeah.
And the Father's got a treasure trove of good things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hesitate to take them. You know, he wants to, I just have that sense, he wants to nurture us with good things because he's a good father. And he provides for us, you know, the best, you know. And that's what our heart needs, is to experience his goodness and kindness, his compassionate nature, his graciousness, you know. I think fear is a big thing. Many of us are afraid to draw close to God. We kind of have this image of him being a bit distant. We don't know whether we're really welcome. We don't really know whether it's a place to call home. A bit scared, maybe. But he says, come in. You know, yeah, I am the God of the universe. Yes, I am the creator of everything. Yes, I am the Lord Almighty. But I'm also your Father. And I want to welcome you in the front door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, when I think of the John 13 to John 17, of course, being the last evening before Jesus goes to the cross. And he really, really is trying to comfort his friends, right? In John 13, we have him start to begin to open up his heart towards his disciples, and he washes their feet, and they have that last meal together, and he's just starting to brace them and to prepare them and actually to even bring a deeper level of revelation on that night, because he said things there between John 13 to John 17 that hadn't been said yet before. And I just love how John 14 starts, where he's just settling his disciples' hearts, right? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he says, my Father's house has many rooms. Mm-hmm. If that were not so, I would have told you that. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Mm. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Yeah. And of course, this is the setup. This is the setup. Where his disciples, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, right? How can we know the way? And that's the setup for Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. But if we back it up to John 14, 1-3, we begin to understand, well, what the way to the Father is where? To the Father, and he has many rooms, many homes, many houses, like in his heart, many mansions. Like that is the place where Jesus leads us to. And when we begin to realize that, and of course, you know, verse 8 where Philip says, show us the Father, Jesus, and it will be enough. I believe it is all tied in together with this longing to be home. Jesus brings us home, and I know that there, when Jesus goes to prepare a place for us, ultimately, there is an understanding that when we all get to heaven, you know, that eternal dwellings will just be amazing, and I can't wait. I'm hoping I'm in the neighborhood of Mark, but I'm not sure if I'm posh enough for that. But there won't be any posh
in heaven, Barry.
But the idea, I really believe when Jesus was saying this, he wasn't only speaking about a home that is in eternity. He was saying, I'm going to prepare a place now, and I'm going to come again and receive you at the resurrection, right? So you can be where I am. And I believe, even the description about in Colossians about us being seated at the right hand of the Father, hidden in Christ with God, that, we have this mystery in our life, right? We are here on planet Earth, but yet the Bible says spiritually we have this heavenly home. So I think, I wonder today, even if as we're just talking about this and praying, that maybe the sense of home, that we've all been created to experience, that maybe somehow that God by the power of his Holy Spirit that lives in us will make that more real, how we are here on Earth. Yet there's this place of home and belonging that we can enjoy, before we make that great transition physically, but we can enjoy it today.
Just you mentioned John 13 to John 17. Well, at the very end of John 17, kind of the last words before Jesus goes to the cross. So, they must be significant. We hear them. That last section of John chapter 17, in most Bibles, it's got a heading, Jesus prays for all believers. This is Jesus's prayer. He's just talking to the Father. And, he starts this last section. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. So not just for the disciples. I'm praying also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. So on this last night, before Jesus goes to the cross, he's actually thinking about this little group of people who are watching this webcast on the 11th of December 2024. 2,000 plus years later, we're included in this prayer that Jesus had on his last night. And it's very much, I really, as Barry was saying, this is a prayer for now. It's not just a prayer for the hereafter when we all get to glory in heaven. It's a prayer for us now, because he says, you know, I pray for them that they will be one. Now, that's a present reality for us to experience, that together we can be one. But in verse 24, Jesus says, you know, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am. You know, in our present moment, now, not in the future, but now, yeah. It's Jesus's desire is that we would be with him where he is, to see his glory, to experience his glory, the glory that the Father gave the Son before the creation of the world, simply because he loved him. You know, we get drawn into that glory that is showered on the Son. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves a question, you know, where, if Jesus says, I want those to be with me where I am, you know, where is he? You know, he's at the bosom of the Father. Yeah. He's at the side of the Father. He's in that close, intimate relationship with the Father. And I think the Apostle John kind of had a good idea what that was like, because he was the one who leant against Jesus at that last meal. Kind of like a little picture of what we can all do. And, you know, of course, we read in Ephesians, and I think we talked about this over the last few weeks on the webcast, that, you know, the heavenly reality for our present reality is that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that's the reality. That's how God sees us. Yeah, we're on a planet Earth, and we live in a broken, messed up, distorted world, but the heavenly reality is we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And that's the prayer that Jesus has. And he goes on to say, you know, Father, the world doesn't know you, but I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them. That's us. And I will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them. The way Jesus is loved is the way we're loved. And, you know, I think the more we see that, the more we understand that, the more we begin to realize, actually, our true home is not planet Earth. As much as it's a beautiful place, we might enjoy what we do, our true home is with him. You know, Jesus said in John 14, verse 23, you know, I'm going to my Father, and we will come back and make our home with you. You know, it's like, I'm going to the Father, but the Father and I, through the Holy Spirit, are going to make our home in your heart. Mm. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I know what my heart's like. you know, I know the attitudes. I know the thoughts that don't escape out of my mouth, but they're inside. And I think, is that really the place the Father wants to come and live? And he says, yes, sure. Of course it is. Mm. Why? Because I love you. See, love covers a multitude of sins. Mm. And, you know, he makes our home with us. We make our home with him. And that's why Jesus says, I pray that they would be one just as we are one. So we enter that oneness and unity together. And I think it's like, you know, John says in his letter in 1 John, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to do with punishment. So the more we live in love, the more the fear has to go. And we begin to realize, yeah, we can breathe. We can breathe again. You know, I'm at home. Barry travels, I travel, you know, and we love doing it, of course. We love going to other places, seeing other people, sharing the Father's love wherever we go. But there's always something good. I'm sure you'll agree with me, Barry. There's always something good about getting to the airport and thinking, I'm on my way home. And getting on the plane and thinking, yeah, not too long now. And getting to your destination, the airport, being met by someone, yeah. And then getting to your house, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm home. I can be myself, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think in I don't know why, but I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Okay, this is, could be good. Where are we going with this, Barry?
Well, no, it was Dorothy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dorothy was, is she was longing for home, and she put her red ruby slippers, and she kept on saying, "There's no place like home. There's no place like home." And you know, and of course, she had a wandering heart where she was not very appreciative of the home she had until she left it. And I don't know why this comes up. I just started when you were talking about getting on, getting to the airport and coming home. I thought, there's no place like home. And
that's true.
And what you said, I think, is so important in the value that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have on home.
Yeah.
Not only that we can make our home in them, but they desire to make their home in us.
Amazing, isn't it?
And it is amazing. Like we are talking about the God of the universe, all powerful, there's just like the majestic nature, infinite and eternal nature of who God is. And yet there is a longing in the heart of the Trinity to actually have my heart as their dwelling place. And the same way that we have our heart in them as our dwelling place. So it's this glorious mystery. But I just think, when I get back to John 14, where Jesus is in my Father's house has many rooms. And so when I think about that, I think, is it too far of a stretch to think that every one of us has our own room in the Father's house? I mean, I think that's what Jesus was really getting at. It's not like it's eight rooms, he's a pretty big dad. And I would like to think that when Jesus said that he has many rooms, and if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you this, right? He said basically, and then the very fact that he says, well, if I go away, I go to prepare a place for you. So in essence, it's like he's making our room up for us.
Yeah.
In that we can come and be comfortable in our Father's house, in the special room that, again, Mark, when you, like, I know for me, it's the same thing, when you've been away for a while and I get to the house and get in and everything is familiar and you sleep in your own bed and the coffee maker is exactly where it should be. And it's just this familiarity. And I really do believe that the Father wants us to become so familiar with the dwelling place that we have in Him, and in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in that beautiful triune love that embraces us like we are in the middle, right? It's like there's this, I imagine sometimes the Trinity is just this big holy hug between the three of them, and we're in the middle of it, and we're just absolutely caught up in that. And so wouldn't it be great if somehow, some way, by the Holy Spirit, that would become more real to us today, that maybe to dare to believe that there is a room that the Father has prepared in His house for each one of us, decorated the way we want it to be decorated, and just comfortable the way we would love to be, just to have that sense of familiarity. And I don't know, I just think that, it would be cool to pray into.
So we do that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's just open our hearts and, maybe you need the Father to bring you home today.
Yeah.
Maybe you feel as a weight of shame, guilt, condemnation on you, just leave it at the front door and go in.
Yeah.
He welcomes you in. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life has set us free. So it's just an invitation as we wrap up today, just to let your heart come home, your true home. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, because of your great love for each one of us, we can come home. We can come not just to the outside of the house, knock on the door, but we can come in. Father, would you just bring our hearts home today? Father, maybe there are some people watching this who've never had an encounter with your love.
Right.
Never experienced you as their loving Father. Maybe they see you as being distant, angry. They see you through a dirty filter, dirty lens. Father, I just pray that you would clean that lens. You'd remove that filter. So that those people who've never experienced that love can see you, the one who is love. And they would be able to walk freely into your embrace, knowing that they're coming home. That, Father, those hindrances, those blockages, maybe the way their earthly parents have been, that have showed a false impression of love, that we just ask, Father, that by your Holy Spirit you would remove those blockages, those hindrances, and people would see you for who you are, and they would run into your open waiting arms, and they'd experience your embrace, and they'd just know, very simply, they would just know that their hearts come home. Father, for all of us, may we have a deeper experience of home, a homecoming. A deeper homecoming today, Father, just stepping further in to your embrace of love, further into your overwhelming love that knows no limits, that we can't comprehend the height or the depth or the width or the length, because it surpasses knowledge, it surpasses understanding.
Yes.
But may we step deeper into that today, that we really would discover that our resting place is your love. That your love is the source of all of our life. So may we have an encounter with true love tonight, today. Amen.
Father, we thank you that it is always your heart to draw your children home. And we just see that story shared three different ways in Luke chapter 15, where there was the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And every one of them ended with a homecoming, a party, a celebration. And I just, Father, we pray that there would just be that sense of that the Father's house is a house of celebration. It's a house of joy. It's a house of welcoming. It's a house where there's no judgment. And, you know, if we were afraid that we're going to be judged by the Father, I just pray that, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you would begin to dismantle every misconception of that. You know, when we think of the prodigal son in the story, when he was in a pig pen and just spent all his money that of his inheritance, he had nothing to offer, and he was dirty and probably... He was, you know, he didn't smell too well, and yet, you know, when he in just a broken young man came home, and Father came running, and just put a robe around him to cover the stench and the filthiness, and a ring on his finger to restore immediate authority, and sandals for his feet, and just responded by saying, "My son, who was dead, is now alive." And he threw a party. And in the same way, Father, the older brother who was trapped in legalism and felt like his father never gave him even a goat to celebrate with his friends. And the father came out to him with that same love to bid him to come in and join the party. And Father, we just, whatever our situation, whether we're feeling outside of the Father's house, looking on the outside in, maybe looking through the window, and feel like we're working and we're doing everything that he demands of us, and but we feel cheated out of Father's blessing, or we wandered away and just blew our inheritance, and ended in a pig pen of our own making. Mm. Father, I pray that there would not be one person that is listening to this live stream that would feel disqualified.
Yeah.
That each and every one of us would hear the Father say, come home.
Yeah.
Hear Jesus saying, in my Father's house are many rooms.
Yeah.
And that Jesus is the way home.
Yeah.
So Father, by your Holy Spirit, even now, would you just melt our hard hearts, melt the misconceptions of your nature. And again, for some people who are listening, Father, maybe home growing up was not a safe place. And Father, would you just pour your healing love on our hearts and every area where we've been violated by a misrepresentation of fathers and mothers, that you would restore to us a healthy sense of belonging to you, a healthy sense of home.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Father. Thank you for joining us. Wow. Once again, apologies for the technical problems at the beginning. This will be online tomorrow on the website. So there we go. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, hopefully the same place, hopefully back live on Facebook and YouTube. And come and join us then. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. See you. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.